Welcome to Money Sense. My name is Amy Bremer, a certified financial planner at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Today, I'm joined by my colleague, Tammy Niemann, a chartered financial planner with Ellen Becker Investment Group. Today, our topic is de-influencing in a swipe now culture. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to do this together.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you joined me. So what started my interest in this topic was Facebook. I was following this lady out of Miami, and she makes these timely posts that says, little reels, do not think that you need to buy anything from Walmart today. Do not think you need to buy anything from Amazon today. You're just bored. Go mop your kitchen floors. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
That was such an impactful message. So I wanted to explore, and thank you kindly for joining me. What does the marketing messages that we receive as Americans, how does that affect us? How does it affect our finances? How does it affect our mental health? And how does this accumulation of stuff affect the environment? So there's four things we're going to cover today. How does marketing messages and accumulation of things affect your finances, your retirement goals, your mental health, and the environment?
Right. I'm looking forward to this because we've all sat there at the end of a long day, scrolled mindlessly, and saw something, and we just couldn't help it. We had to buy now. And it is so easy, and it's so mindless. And so just understanding how to navigate that space more successfully so that we're not doing the mindless spending, and just getting those money mindsets in line to support their long-term goals versus those short-term goals, something we all have to think about.
Yeah.
Every single one of us.
Yeah. So let's start with the first topic of ways to avoid unnecessary or unwanted spending. And the first way that I do that personally is I determine, is this a need or a want? You need to eat, but do you need to eat sushi takeout, or do you have leftovers in your refrigerator that you can eat? And getting back to that influencer I was talking about earlier on Facebook, she always says you have food in your pantry. Go stand up and cook. And I really, really liked that.
You know, and that's one of those things that get me after a long day. Just last week, I forgot to lay something out. Everything's frozen. All your meat's frozen. Forgot to lay something out. I'm driving home. I'm a little tired. And I call my husband. I'm like, I know we've been trying not to go out to eat so often, but and he's like, Tammy, we have stuff in the refrigerator. Oh. We can figure it out. So sometimes even just having that person that you live with hold you accountable to determine, is this a need or is this a want, is important too.
Yeah. You had a really good one, the next one that we're going to talk about, what I really liked.
Implementing waiting periods before purchasing. So my husband and I just kind of put this together and said, hey, anything under a certain threshold, go ahead. It's not a big deal. Although, you know, we got to be mindful of even those small purchases, they add up. But anything over a certain threshold, and let's just say it's $100 for your household, whatever that is, instead of saying no, we just say wait. If you're still thinking about it after 24 or 48 hours and it's still as important, then go ahead and maybe it's a purchase that you want to make. If after, usually after a day or two, I've forgotten that thing that came up on my feed that I didn't know I couldn't live without until I seen it. And that has really curbed a lot of that mindless spending for
us.
No,
that's good. That's really good. And I was going to ask you, but you already answered the question, is how long do you wait? How long is enough of a wait? And
For us, pretty much it's 24 hours.
Okay.
I mean, it's in and out so quickly.
So it's more of that impulse to give you a minute to maybe get out of your reptilian brain, like, oh, I need to do this now, and get into your logical brain.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Fair. And that's what some of those marketing strategies are hoping that consumers don't implement, is just that wait and see.
Yeah. That's a good softball. Thank you kindly. Because the next one I wanted to talk about is unsubscribing from marketing emails. And over the holiday weekends, and we give those every few months, you know. They're relentless.
Oh,
you'll get four or five emails on a weekend, and it's creating a sense of urgency.
Yes.
And I historically have gotten sucked into that. Oh, it's 50% off. I'll stock up. And I literally have 10 bottles of face wash in my pantry, in the linen closet in the bathroom. Like, who needs 10 bottles? It's insane. But now I tell myself, Amy, there will always be another sale.
Right.
You don't need to get this right now.
Right. The Amazon Prime days always get me. I see all those advertisements mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm going to wait to purchase this until Amazon Prime. And then it comes and I'm like, you know, if you look into on Amazon, if you look into, there's like a little purchase history and you can see what the actual price has been mm-hmm. over the last 3, 6, 9, or 12 months. I have found a lot of the purchases I've been waiting to buy for Amazon Prime. Some of them have been stellar deals. So I'm going to buy that face wash, mm-hmm. right? Some haven't produced as good of a results as I thought. So even just learning how to shop there and mm-hmm. slow down has helped. But you're right. Unsubscribing would have helped mm-hmm. because sometimes even your inbox gets so cluttered right. with all those offers mm-hmm. too, right?
But I think what you said right now was key. Slow down. Yes. And with the marketing folk and they're creating a sense of urgency to do right now because it might sell out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we all fall for it. And mm-hmm. I mean, and it's something just to be mindful of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next one that I kind of mentioned this earlier that I wanted to bring up is there are de-influencers and anti-consumerism folks yes. on socials. That was kind of the impetus for this podcast today. Yeah. Was I found this lady out of Miami. I'm like, oh, that's really great. And now that I've been watching her reels, my algorithms are updated, so I'm getting more of them. Mm-hmm. And now I'm getting all these other CFPs in my feed. Like, it's been really positive for me to be mindful of my spending and putting my money where my values are. And is right. it really in all this stuff that we accumulate?
I like how you said that. Putting mm-hmm. my money where my values are, you know, and changing the voice within those algorithms on your social can be very powerful. Mm-hmm. And just lingering longer over, for me, it was when my husband and I downsized. The kids are away at college. So we're like, we don't need this big house. Mm-hmm. We don't need the school district anymore. So we're downsizing. So we purchased a smaller home, which required us to really be mindful of what mm-hmm. we're putting in it. Mm-hmm. So in my feed, I started following those with minimalist mindsets.
Oh.
And that was just eye-opening, looking at everything that I was purchasing. Like, I'm going into a smaller kitchen. Mm-hmm. And if anything that is a unitasker, meaning it can only do one mm-hmm. thing, no longer gets real estate in my drawer.
Yeah.
It has to be able to do a few things. Mm-hmm. So just feeding or changing the voice within my social media feed has definitely been helpful too in minding through some of these behavior patterns as it relates to spending.
So that's good.
Yeah, change the voice, change the narrative.
And then you had a really good one that we'll finish up this topic with.
Mm-hmm. Breaking up with your phone.
Tell me about that.
So it's a book I read many, many years ago. But one of those things is just knowing when you're vulnerable. And I'm more vulnerable after work. I'm just doing that mindless scrolling, right? And I bump into something that I just can't resist. So I have been really mindful now during when I get tired that, you know what, maybe scrolling isn't what I need to do.
What do you do instead?
I take the phone. I put it in the other room. Mm. If it's sitting right next to me, if I just tell myself, I'm going to lay it down, I won't look at it, I will definitely break that promise mm-hmm. to myself. But if I have to get up and walk into the other room, I'm probably not going to do it. And then another thing is I try not to touch my phone for the first 30 to 60 minutes that I wake up.
Oh, that I can't do that.
I know. So, isn't that hard?
Well, my phone is my alarm. It wakes me up. Like,
well, in that case, yes, it'll wake me up. But then I try to say, you know what? I got to do something different. Mm-hmm. I cannot look at my phone for the first 30 to 60 minutes. That turned into this endless mind scrolls. Oh. And then I'm anxious and I'm looking at things. Mm-hmm. And those mindless purchases come up.
Yeah.
And so after your second cup of coffee, it looks pretty good.
Right, right.
So even just setting those parameters when I can look at my phone or getting up and moving it in the other room has definitely helped break up with my phone a little bit.
Yeah. And that's a very actionable way that we can have our listeners
right.
take right now to help mm-hmm. mitigate some of these unnecessary or too frequent purchases.
And even if you can't do it every single day, mm-hmm. just, you know, it's not perfection. Just doing it a few days, it helps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the second topic we're going to talk yeah. about is how does this spending affect your finances and your potential retirement plan? And what really, I thought about this two different ways. So you think about, you have a fixed amount, think about like a pizza pie.
Yeah.
You have a fixed amount of pie. And if you spend this on spending, then you spend this on your mortgage, you spend this on your retirement savings, you spend this on college funding. If your current consumer spending is so large, you have to come up from the other pieces to accommodate that larger piece. So,
right.
So my thought process is, if people are spending less, they're used to living on less,
mm-hmm.
and it'll make those other pieces larger that they could allocate towards more of their goals and their values. And like I mentioned earlier, putting your money where your values are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the current value is saving for retirement or saving for college or saving for an emergency fund, saving for the car or the down payment on the house. And do some mm-hmm. of these things that we have this great sense of urgency to buy because the marketing folks are creating the sense of urgency. Do we really need them? And is it inhibiting us from meeting our other goals?
I read a statistic recently. It was talking about how there's a large percentage of Americans that know that they are overspending. And of that percentage, they said about two-thirds of those people have actually even cried over it because it's creating that much mental stress mm-hmm. on them. So I like what you said. It's not about, you know, how much you make. It's how much you keep.
That's
right?
Profound.
And so just being aware of that, you know, a lot of people are like, well, am I going to be successful in retirement? What's our first question? It's always, well, how much do you spend?
Mm-hmm. And we ask that question first because that's what you can control the most. We
Correct.
Can't control the government.
That's right.
We can't control the markets.
Correct.
We can't control geopolitical, you mm-hmm. know, who's going to do what today.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an earthquake in Indonesia right. and there's a tsunami, like, but mm-hmm. we can control what we spend and we can control how much we keep.
And wouldn't you say over the years, the many, many years that you and I have been doing financial planning, don't you think that those who are most successful in retirement, before going into retirement, one of the things is really having a grasp on how much you spend? When I ask clients, how much do you spend? Those who can give me a concrete answer with a certain incredible certainty, mm-hmm. I just feel so much better about their plan
mm-hmm.
because I know that it's built on something.
Mm-hmm.
When you really don't know what you spend, I don't have that great assurance that these clients are going to be successful mm-hmm. because really they don't know what they're spending.
Yeah.
So just being aware of what you're spending is definitely going to help with retirement too.
Completely agree that awareness is key.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us on Money Sense. We'll be right back in a quick minute.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellenbecker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to Money Sense. We're here with Tammy Neiman, a colleague of mine at Ellenbecker Yes. Investment Group. And today we're talking about de-influencing in a swipe no culture. The third topic that we want to address today is how all of this stuff affects our mental health.
Right.
And you had some really great ideas on this, which is one of the reasons why I asked you to join me today.
Mm-hmm.
So share with our listeners what you shared with me.
Yeah. So just in our last segment, we were talking about how there is a good percentage of Americans that know that they are overspending. It's created anguish. And it was really alarming when you think about that. And it's how did we get here? And a lot of times it is just mindless scrolling. So this was really important for me. So one of the things that I learned as I myself was trying to downsize and be more mindful of my spending was just that minimalist mindset, right? Mm-hmm. And so I heard a statistic that talks about, I want you to think about every single thing that comes into your home. It has a voice. It says, clean me, maintain me, organize me, throw me away. Every single thing that you bring in. And so to me, it kind of like, I love word pictures. So it's kind of like having that app in the back of your phone mm-hmm. that's going that you forgot about, that's just draining your battery mm-hmm. silently. And then we all do it. We look and we're like, how do I have this many apps open, right? My kids grab my phone all the time. I'm like, Mom, how do you have 20 apps open? I have no idea. Well, it was one of those things that when I heard that, and I put that mental map, everything has a voice. I'm going to have to clean this, organize it, throw it away. It made me think differently about the way that I consume and the way that I purchase and the habits and everything that comes into my house. Maybe just needs to be higher quality and less quantity. And so that was a mindset change that doesn't come naturally. It's something you have to be a little intentional about.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked some of these things. I found that 1 in 10 Americans own a storage unit.
Get out.
So think about it. And oftentimes they're not visited because we're using this stuff. It's just stuff we don't know what to do with. Someday mm-hmm. we'll get around to mm-hmm. sorting this out.
Mm-hmm.
So here's, I put together 5 little rules to help us curb our spending habits and be more mindful of it.
Okay.
So I'll go through them quickly. So first one is ask yourself, how many times realistically will I use this item this year?
Okay.
If it's only once or twice, consider renting it or borrowing it. Maybe it doesn't have to be something you own. Number 2, solve the real problem. Why am I shopping?
Mm.
This was a big one for me. Mm-hmm. We were talking about in the previous segment, and you were as well, just that scrolling, especially when we're bored or stressed. Do we just not need a fresh start? Like I always joke, like I go to Costco because I got to see what I couldn't live without until I seen it, right? I walk in thinking I'm going to buy one item and $300 later. Yes. I'm not kidding. I don't know how those things jump in my cart. So that would be the second thing. Solve the real problem. Third is calculate in life energy. Instead of asking yourself, can I afford this? Which oftentimes maybe the answer can be yes. Mm-hmm. Ask how many hours of my life did I or will I work for this? So that was a mindset change. Mm-hmm. So I did a little example for today's podcast. So just think about this, all right? If you're a family making the median income in this county, mm-hmm. all right, where we're recording, and you were to take on a car payment, a 6-year car payment at $650 a month.
Okay.
How many hours of my month, of my year, is that going to take up? So I did a little bit of the math, and I thought this was incredible. It's going to take 5 hours a week I'm working for that car payment.
5 hours a week?
It doesn't seem that bad, right?
But every week?
Every week for 6 years.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know that accumulates to 9 solid months that you're working for that car payment?
Over the 6 years. Oh my goodness.
So when you start just doing that math, you know, mm-hmm. maybe it's a smaller purchase. Just ask yourself, is that the amount of time and energy I'm willing to buy? Is the trade-off worth it?
Mm-hmm.
So changing that question to yourself, because we'll justify whatever we want, right?
Or the girl math, you know, if I wear it 10 times, it's only such and such per wear.
Right,
you know? Yeah,
right. But
yeah.
Are you going to wear it 10 times? You know, some things you will if you buy quality pieces, mm-hmm. right? A lot of us will just go into the store and like, I just want something I can wear a couple of times, right? That mm-hmm. fast fashion.
Yeah.
So, all right. So 4th rule would be, will owning this make my life simpler or more complicated?
Mm.
And the last item is, or the last rule is, buy for the life you're actually living now.
Not aspirational. Oh, right. That gets me all the time.
Yep. I know. I look at this. I wanted to start a new hobby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sourdough bread. Everybody.
Oh, fun, right?
It's fun. Yeah. Right? It was fun until we gained a little extra weight. But I had to have all the things mm-hmm. before I even started this hobby. I had mm-hmm. to have all the tools. And I did enjoy it for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but I look like I really overpurchased. I could have started smaller,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And if I would have implemented that rule, I wouldn't have that box down in my basement that's already taking up that mental space of
collecting dust.
But I don't want to throw it away.
Yeah.
And why? Because I paid so much money for it.
Oh,
another reason.
Cost fallacy.
Yeah. So that one is just a freebie. Yeah. So it's actually 5A or maybe the 6th rule.
6th rule, yeah.
Is we don't throw stuff away because I paid so much for it. I never wore it or right. I didn't use it mm-hmm. to its full extent. Mm-hmm. So
my aspirational purchase is when I go to the Costco grocery shopping, I buy way too much produce. Oh, I'm going to eat this. And then it like goes bad in the refrigerator and then it goes up in the compost bin.
So true. We all do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So buy for what we're actually going to use now mm-hmm. no. versus aspirational.
That's really good.
Yeah.
To mental health. That's
yeah,
awesome. Thanks,
definitely.
Danny. The 4th overall topic that I actually wanted to address is, how does all this stuff affect the environment?
True.
And I recently watched a documentary with my husband that I shared with you. It's on Netflix. It's called Buy Now.
Oh, I love that. When you recommended that, I watched it mm-hmm. immediately. It was yeah. really a good.
In some of the statistics in that documentary floored me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was how much greenwashing happens. For example, greenwashing is you make things more environmentally, you make things sound more environmentally palpable than they really are.
Right.
For example, all of the plastics, single-use things that we have, plastic bottles, packaging, plastic, mm-hmm. every single garment that we buy that gets shipped overseas mm-hmm. all comes in a plastic bag that then gets put into a box that gets shipped and then gets unpacked. how much of these plastic things are recycled?
Right.
Well, we think all of them because it's got the little number on it, the little arrows. And
sure.
So according to, and I'm going to check my notes here, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, this is a global organization out of France.
Mm-hmm.
9%.
Are you kidding?
Of plastic is actually recycled. 19% of it isn't burned. It's incinerated. Half of it ends up in landfills. And 22% is mismanaged, meaning it's dumped. It's burned in open pits. It gets into the environment. That's where you see the turtles, the sea turtles in the ocean eating plastic bags. Or
only 9%?
9%.
Oh, my. I would have never guessed that.
9%. And the plastic industry is just booming.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, and so now I'm trying to reevaluate, okay, in conjunction with, am I using my money towards my values? Is this thing that I want to buy meeting my values? Am I working towards financial goals that are meeting my values? What is this single-use plastic going to do? Can I switch from a plastic bottle to a glass bottle? So Matt and I started drinking water out of glass bottles now versus buying plastic single-use because we're kind of bougie. We like the fizzy water. So, yeah. Yeah.
I always thought you were pretty bougie.
Yeah. thanks. Yeah. So the second piece in that documentary that really floored me were two other statistics about recycled things.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it earlier with fast fashion. You want something just for right now. So the shirt I'm actually wearing, I bought at a secondhand shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome. I thought it was pretty cute. It's cute,
it
right?
Is
it's
so
got the
cute.
Ruffles and it's hot pink and it's fun and bright.
It is.
But a lot of the garments.
Mm-hmm.
That we recycle, for example, fast fashion, and you know them, H&M, Zara,
Shein,
yeah. If you go to these in-person stores, they have a box.
Right.
Recycle your old clothes here, and here's a coupon for 15% off your new purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that stuff go? And a lot of it goes to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the statistic that I found here was Ghana in Western Africa, they get 15 million garments a week. The population of Ghana is only 35 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do the math, 15 million recycled garments a week for 35 million people, that's about 22 items per person per calendar year. And that population cannot consume that much stuff.
Right.
And think about it. We're all aspirational. We all want to donate because there's still useful life in this thing, but there's a little tiny hole, but someone will wear it. So you donate it to Goodwill. Well, the Goodwill throws it out because they can't resell it.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up in the landfill or ends up in this box and gets shipped to Ghana or another country overseas.
Right.
But the documentary showed a beautiful beach. And you saw this. Why don't you explain it?
It was a beautiful beach. And washing up to the beach was just these garments. And they were fragmented. And so... yeah, it's really been over-donated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's really hard to hear, like, because we always think in America that that wouldn't be the case, but it really has been over-donated. Yeah.
And a lot of our new-ish modern fabrics are plastic-based.
And polyester, and they're just not
rayon,
decomposing.
Spandex is one. And I've been shopping for some new clothes, and I'm trying to buy linens and cottons and things that will break down.
Right.
But viscose and poly blends and blends and things, and what does that mean?
Right, right.
So trying to buy organic, and not organically grown, but like organic type things that will break down. Because it's from wool or alpaca things or bamboo or something like that.
One trend I have seen with my kiddos who are in college is thrifting has become a little bit more in vogue, right?
Ooh.
Right. So I would think that when I was in high school, I didn't want to tell, like, I got this from Vinny's. I got, you know, but now it's like I gave my kiddos some money to purchase some new clothes and they came back with bags full from the thrifting stores. And they'll often go shopping with their friends, like, where'd you go? We went thrifting today. And it's, I do love the resurgence of that. I do love that they are being a little bit more mindful. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a step in the right direction that even our generation can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have a long way to go. But 9% is still, I'm still shaking my head over that. And we all get those Amazon boxes. I just last night purchased something online and I'm like, they put a box inside of a box inside of a, like you said, I'm like, look at all this. I have to get rid of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all are aware of it. I just didn't realize 9% was the impact.
I was very shocked too. Mm-hmm. And the last nugget I want to share with you, globally, 13 million iPhones are thrown away on a daily basis.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
13 million.
Now, we had a shred event here earlier this year at Ellenbecker where we picked up confidential documents for paper shredding. Right. And we did electronics recycling where we collected those items, too. Mm-hmm. People brought in old TVs and there was a refrigerator. And I asked the guy, well, what do you do with this stuff? Because I watched that documentary and a lot of that stuff just gets shipped overseas. And it's just in Indonesia or China.
Right.
And they said they take it apart. They pull out what they can recycle, like copper wires and, you know, metals and things like that. But the plastic bits ends up in landfills. So they extrapolate what they can, but most of it is unusable. So
Right. Yeah. All things to be mindful of when we're consuming things is the impact on the environment, the impact on our mental health, the impact on our retirement, and just the impact on our overall spending.
Yeah.
I mean, just those four things alone, we've given some good seed thought here. And I know that we could talk about this endlessly. There's just so much impact in consumerism. Mm-hmm. And so maybe, you know, one of those lessons is just to just figure out how much is enough. Mm-hmm. You know, how much is enough, and kind of defining that boundary for our lives too.
Thank you kindly. Thank you for joining us on Money Sense. We hope that today's conversation made a meaningful difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellenbecker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.